Thank you, Glenn. Good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to be here from the Minnesota Department of Health, and my comments are really going to focus on Minnesota's experience with the IMPROVE project that Glenn teed up. I don't have any relationships to disclose, but I would like to acknowledge the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Centers of Disease Control. We have support from the RWJ and also the National Public Health Improvement Initiative. And you'll be seeing that reflected in the research I'm describing and some of the activities. So again, I'm going to highlight some of the methods and findings from Minnesota's IMPROVE study and also describe some action underway to use those findings to improve system performance. I'm here really on behalf of our public health practice-based research network, which is housed in the Minnesota Department of Health and includes the Minnesota Local Public Health Association, the Statewide Community Health Services Advisory Committee, and the University of Minnesota School of Public Health. This is just acquainting you with our local public health system. The colors reflect our public health regions. The bold lines reflect our local health jurisdictions. We have about 72 local health departments and 50 that are governed by 50 community health boards. Constantly changing, but that's the current picture. So when we went about collecting our data for IMPROVE, we engaged our practice-based research network and our statewide performance improvement steering committee. Really first in that process, Glenn mentioned we arrived at initially across the state's 300 measures and winnowed that down to about 30. And each state had a process to contribute to the development of those measures. And then we went about sort of obtaining available data from within the state health department and also capitalizing on an existing statewide data collection system, primarily for information that we didn't already have in the chronic disease domain. Our approach was really inclusive, engaging content experts from the state health department, local practitioners, our reporting system, and then really importantly, we looked at the findings in the context of system-level performance management. So there's quite a bit of emphasis on performance management within state, local, and tribal health departments as a result of the national standards. And we're trying to take a performance management approach at the system level as well. And you'll see that in the latter part of my presentation. So this is just an example in the immunization bundle of the communicable disease domain. These are some of the measures. You can see the differences in type that Glenn mentioned, reach and volume shown here. And just some of our findings are immunization completeness at kindergarten readiness. We were doing pretty well. We ranged in from about 93% to 100%, varying by vaccine and county. All of our local health departments provided immunizations, but some fewer than 5. And others more than 1,000, just in terms of the straight number. And then in terms of vaccine, confirmed cases of vaccine preventable disease, 7 cases of mumps, 2 in tetanus, and 0 of others. So when we looked across all of the measures, one of the things that really stood out is that in Minnesota we were lacking some variation in many of the measures. And we really looked and found some patterns. In some cases, it was because of our statewide statute. In other cases, it was because of the presence of a statewide program. So in terms of availability, things were just available. In some cases, the services reside primarily at the state level. So in counting what local health departments do, there was little variation. And also in terms of just prevalence rates being fairly low and not evenly distributed around the state in terms of vaccine preventable diseases and TB. And all of this sort of fed into and has galvanized interest in our state in looking at the relationship between capacity and services, especially population-level services. So we took sort of an initial exploratory look at capacity to achieve the national standards and providing sort of the availability of some population-level services to promote active living and healthy foods in the community. We focused on the 3 agency measures shown here. CHB capacity was based on self-reported ability to achieve the national measures, 35 of them that are included in our annual reporting system. and our reporting instructions follow the national guidelines of the Public Health Accreditation Board. They're reporting by virtue of state statute. So even though we aren't gathering evidence, local health departments have to be prepared to show evidence if the state requests it. So we think our data are reasonably good. So we categorize CHBs into three levels of capacity based on their relative ability to meet the national standards. And we started to see some patterns, some unexpected things, but the bottom line is this was just a very first step for us to study the relationship between funding, capacity, performance of evidence-based population-level services and outcomes. So right now we're assembling data on local public health expenditures, the ability to achieve all 100-plus national measures, the volume and reach of local public health services related to healthy eating and physical activity, and health outcomes. In terms of next steps with IMPROVE, there's conversation nationally among the six states that participated on how to build on this sort of starter set of measures and to conduct initial analysis. And there's also activity underway to use the findings to improve local public health services. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about that, what we're doing in Minnesota. So even though we didn't have a lot of variation on the initial IMPROVE measure on immunization coverage at kindergarten readiness, we had quite a bit of variation among children 24 to 35 months old. Typically in Minnesota and perhaps other states, when we've had local health jurisdiction data, we've still presented aggregate information. So what's the statewide average or the statewide median, and what's the range? And we haven't gone as far as showing how individual jurisdictions do and how they compare. And talk in this study about variation really jump-started and legitimized in our state talking about variation and presenting it. And this is just one example. And what it led to is our state advisory committee saying, this is really concerning. We have a range from 42% to almost 90% in immunization coverage. This is a top opportunity for improvement in our state. And so we're on the cusp of starting to do a QI collaborative that will engage immunization specialists at the local level, building their capacity to do QI using their own local data and our immunization registry. And this is just another way that we've presented the data in our state. So you can see the distribution. And even though it's not identifiable, it still really gets people's attention because they can see that the 42% isn't an aberration. Even though they may have seen the range, they can see that that's one of many that are quite a ways from the CDC benchmark. And what's especially exciting to us in Minnesota is if you look at that top bar, the top performing CHB, in a needs assessment that they did in that community a few years ago, they identified this measure as an important priority in their community, and they convened, using data from the immunization registry, they convened people from their clinics and showed them their data and engaged their clinics in improving. They were at 50%, and now they're the best in the state at almost the CDC benchmark. So what we're really wanting to do is use our data for system improvement and sort of scale up that QI success. So in closing, just a few final comments. This was really the first time in our state health department that we had reached across the agency and tried to assemble the data all together in one place that we had in-house. And that went a long way in just our own relationship building. So for example, in our office, the Office of Performance Improvement, we knew that that community health board had done that QI activity because we supported them in doing that QI. But we didn't have the state picture on that variation in immunization. Our immunization colleagues we've come to know had no idea that a community health board had done QI and improved like that. And they didn't know we had the QI expertise to support a QI collaborative. And that came about because for the first time we really reached across the department to build those relationships and assemble the data in one place. Improve really accelerated our discussion about the implications of variation in the public health system, and as I said, sort of legitimized talking and presenting it. And you know, standard data collection and reporting across jurisdictions really can yield important comparative information that people can act on. So, thank you.